Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, this is when Jesus, he wasn't going to his trial and judgment and being crucified yet. He's gathered with his disciples, and they're celebrating Passover, or what you and I now know as communion, how Jesus changed some of that, that he made a new covenant. And there's a point here where the disciples were having a little argument about who's the greatest among them. And there's a point in this gathering, in this worship, in this dinner together, that Jesus looks at Peter, Simon Peter. Now listen to this. He says, Simon. He says his name twice. Simon. Simon. Everybody ever say your name twice? It's like you weren't really listening the first time, right? Or they really want to emphasize, listen, pay attention, okay? Pay attention to what I'm about to say. And this is what Jesus says. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked, that's the NIV translation. Other translations may use a different phrase, but New International Version says, behold, Satan has asked to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Satan asked, here's a very bold question for you. Satan asked, Satan knows how to pray. Do you? Do I? He asked if he could sift Peter like wheat. Now, I don't know if you know what sifting is. We have kind of a, most of us, a mild view of sifting. You know, it's, I remember my mother having a kind of a tin tube like this. Yeah, there was a screen in it. There's a little handle on the side. You'd put the, you're doing the motions. Do you want to come on up here as I speak? You want to do, act this out for me? So you turn this and it would flip this and it would sift it and it would come out the bottom on like wax paper or something like that. And that was my idea as a kid of sifting. But the sifting that's talked about here is about taking grain and pulverizing it, smashing it between two hard stones. Or, as time went on, between some hard steel jaws and teeth, and that it would just crush all of this, and then they would finish the sifting by taking out the good fruit and letting the husk and all of that just kind of be put to a burn pile. And that's what Satan asked if he could do with Peter. It's a little more intense than this. He asked, Jesus says, Peter, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. You see, Jesus prayed in advance of what he knew before it started to unfold in Peter's life. When you and I consider praying for one another, we don't always know what's around the corner for somebody. Sometimes we're praying for people once they get sick. We pray for people once we see, oh, they're going through a hard time. And that's good. But what about just people that you know you pray for without knowing whether they're going through trouble or not? Because we don't always know what's going on behind the wall. You don't know what's going on behind the Sunday appearance. I mean, I try to walk in here like I don't need prayer. I'm not talking about having pride and arrogance. I just want to come in here, and my focus is on the Lord, and it's to be honest with you, it's on you, and it's not like some noble thing that I need a pat on the back. It's just the focus is not on me, for me, at this moment. There are moments that I focus on me and talk to the Lord about me, but I want to come in here, and I'm concerned about, you know, the Lord and His concern for you and the concerns you have in your life, and, you know, but I don't know all of them, but I pray for some of you when I don't even know that there's something going on, but the Lord knows. And I would love to build up a prayer account on your behalf, okay, before something unfolds in your life. You see, that's the value of that we can offer one another, is that we pray for one another in advance of what they might face. That your faith would not fail you, that circumstances that unfold would not rob you of your faith or belief or trust in the Lord when something difficult unfolds in your life. I pray that your faith does not fail you, and I'd appreciate if you would pray the same way for this man. My faith would not fail. He has seen me through so much in my life already, and I can say that because I've been around a while. Those of you in the front row, you'd say, yeah, probably 60-some years. Those in the back, you'd think, oh, probably 35. If you're in the parking lot, I'm looking really good from the parking lot. We don't always know what's about to unfold in somebody's life. It'd be nice to have a reservoir, a great deposit of prayers on our behalf in advance. You see, here's a question. Who have you prayed for lately? Take your name off the list. Who have you prayed for lately? Acts chapter 9. This is, I'll give you a little backdrop. This is where Saul, now he becomes the Apostle Paul. Okay, his name changes from Saul to Paul. So when I say Saul, he's at this point in the book of Acts, he is still known as Saul. And Saul is out persecuting Christians, taking a team of people with, approving of their death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And along the way, Saul gets interrupted. Jesus, who has died, rose again, and ascended, is at the right hand of God and has sent the Holy Spirit now to contend with us and instruct us and to help us. Saul has an encounter with Jesus. And this encounter has left Saul blind. And so we're going to jump in here for a moment in Acts chapter 9. And you can look it up on your own later, whatever you want to do. But in Acts chapter 9, the Lord speaks to a man named Ananias and tells him to go pray for Saul. Now, Ananias is a godly man. He's a righteous man. In verse 10, it says this, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias replied, this is a great reply. He says, here I am, Lord. Boy, that we could hear the voice of the Lord that quickly call to us, and the first thing we say is, here I am, here am I. He responds and says that, and the Lord said to him, "Rise, go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Look at how the Lord is orchestrating this by his Spirit. He interrupts Saul while he's persecuting Christians. It leaves him blind. Now, because of this experience, Saul is praying to the Lord, and the Lord reveals to him that, "I'm going to send somebody named Ananias to you." And then over here, Ananias is, and the Lord says, "Hey, I'm sending you right now, and this is where you go. You go to the street Straight, and you go to this house, and you're going to find a man named Saul there." And see, networking is not a new thing. Lord's networking all this, putting it all together. And I want you to know he still does these things. It might be one of the reasons why you're here this morning, is he's putting something together for you. You just see what's before you and maybe the troubles and difficulties. And maybe you are blind to the fact that God is at work because he cares for you and he loves you. And people have been praying for you. Well, here's this scary man named Saul who's condemning people who believe in Jesus. And now Ananias gets this message from the Lord, and Ananias answers the Lord, "I've heard from many people about this man named Saul and how much evil he has done to your Christians or your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." You're calling me to go pray for this guy. I just want to remind you, Lord, who this guy is. Right? Oh, that's a great story. And then the Lord says back to Ananias, "Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles." See? You non-Jews? Me? God loves you. Gave his life for you. Paul writes, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, first to the Jew and to the Gentile." The prophecy of old, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, all men, all women, young and old." Doesn't matter your nationality. Just know that our Savior is a Jew. Son of God. Born of a virgin. So here it is. The Lord says, "Chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he will suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Watch this, brother Saul." Lord sent him. He had conversation with the Lord. The Lord said, go pray for him. He's going to be my instrument. And now this adversary, Ananias, addresses him as brother Saul. What beauty. He says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, as he prayed for him, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose up and he was baptized into Jesus. And then he took food. I love that about all the meetings in the Bible. They always mention there's food in there somewhere. Well, he fasted for 3 days and lost his sight. He needed something to nourish his body. And it says he, taking food, he was strengthened. You see, when a Christian person prays for and with another person, God manifests. Turn to a couple people around you and say, God shows up. Like I say, God shows up. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, Saul, now Paul, he writes this letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this. You know what alert means, right? Your head's on a swivel, you're looking, you're very alert, you're taking it all in, you're diligent. He says, with all your prayers and requests, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I want you to hear the call this morning. I want you to see the example of Jesus. I prayed for you in advance of something that's going to happen. How often are we praying for people? We don't know what's going to unfold in their life. We look at Ananias being sent to pray for Saul. They prayed together. He prayed with him. Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter, but it wasn't with Peter. It was when he had his prayer time. Now we see somebody praying with somebody. We see Paul write, you need to be praying. You need to be alert with this. You persevere. You make intercession for all the saints. Pray for people one by one, but you can pray for New Life as a whole. Pray for the church worldwide. Missionaries somewhere else, you don't even know their name. I want you to hear it this morning that if you are a believer, you are called to pray for other people. And you are also called to pray with other people. James writes it this way, pray for one another that you may be healed. The first part of that is confess your sins, but he says pray with one another. God manifests when we start praying for each other. Worship team, I want you to come back, please. I want to ask you three things. Are you even open for God to call upon you to pray for and with other people? I get it that, you know, some of us, I'm not good at talking in front of people, and I'm not, you know, I'm a little shy about that. Listen, I understand that. You think I don't because I stand up here and speak in front of people all the time and have traveled and preached to thousands of people and all that, all those different things. But I had to grow into this. I had to take steps into this. And most of you who have come into this place this morning, you have spoken to somebody. They said hello. You said hi, or you maybe at least acknowledged them and nodded. They stretched forth a hand. You shook hands. You spoke in front of them. And I know some are more social than others, but it didn't say, all of you who are social, pray with other people. Those of you who aren't, well, it's okay. We're believers. The light's got to shine. The faith has to be expressed. We can pray in private and should for other people. But are we even open to be called upon to pray in private? Are we walking with the Lord where he says, hey, Randy, pray right now. Hey, Randy, call this person because I want you to pray with them. Hey, Randy, go visit them. I'm sending you to pray for them. Put your name in there. Are you even open? Are you even available? Do you even think in terms of praying for others or praying with others? Here's the second question. Who have you prayed for lately? Third question. Who have you prayed with lately? I mean, if we are believers in Christ and call ourselves a Christian, I think we're hard-pressed calling ourselves a Christian and a disciple of His if we're not praying, and if we're not praying for other people, and if we're not praying with other people. It's what we're called to do and to participate. We get to, listen, this is a privilege to participate with what God's will is and seeking God's blessing on behalf of someone else. What a privilege to be a part of that. So I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Because there's people in this room at this point, right now in their life today, they're in need of prayer. I know that. I'm in need of prayer. There are days I feel like I need prayer. I need it more than others. I've even said, Lord, I hope there's someone out there praying for me today. Or I even go to this extreme, that if they're not, those who used to pray for me faithfully, who have passed on, would their prayers come up as a remembrance before you when they were interceding for me? Use somebody who's passed on. Use their prayers. Remember their prayers? Fulfill them today. You didn't fulfill probably all their prayers for me. They went out like a hero because their faith outlasted their last breath. But let their prayers come up as a remembrance, because we see that in Scripture. Things come up as a remembrance before the Lord. There's people here, they need prayer today. And I'm going to give you opportunity to receive prayer today. And I'm going to give the rest of you opportunity to pray with somebody today, pray for somebody today. And I want you to carry this with you in your daily, nightly life. When's the last time you chose to get out of bed in the middle of the night to pray for somebody? Please don't call them unless the Lord should tell you, here's their number. Call them right now, okay? And not everybody you pray for needs to know that you're praying for them. There's sometimes we tell people, and I tell people, it's to encourage them, let them know they're thought of, let them know the Lord has put them on my heart, to know that you're not in this alone. But other times I pray for people, I don't tell them. I don't need to put it out there like a badge. I prayed for you. I'm so great. That's not this. It's the humility of serving and seeking blessing in someone else's life, even in people from your view who don't deserve it. Saul did not deserve it. But the Lord had a plan.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.